Okay, ready to go. I was told of this joke. I was reminded of this joke I received in the mail from somebody. And I'm going to make it up differently. But this teacher had her class, and they were getting ready for the holiday. And she was saying, okay, I want everybody to tell me about what they're going to be doing on Christmas, you know. And she went around the room, and everybody was saying, well, I'm going to get an iPod and a Wii machine and a PlayStation 2, and, you know, and it went down the row, down the row, down the row, and then she said, Jacob Cohen, I'm sorry. I know you don't celebrate Christmas. Would you tell us what you do around this day? He says, well, my dad owns the store where everybody bought their iPods and and Wii machines, and so we close it early on Christmas Eve, and we go to the airport, and we get on a plane, and we go to the Bahamas to spend all the profits that we made. So, no matter who you are and what religious ideology you hold to, the winter holiday season involving Christmas will be a challenge. Amen? It is first a challenge to non-believers, people who don't believe at all, as they are continually presented with the message of the birth of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, don't they? Into a world that is lost in sin. Secondly, the Christmas holiday is a challenging time for many Christians who seek to remember the birth of our Savior, but at the same time all too often indulge themselves in overly frivolous gift-giving. And thirdly, the Christmas season is a challenge to Messianic believers, us, as we choose not to celebrate this holiday. So it's a big problem for a lot of people. The Reformation certainly did a great deal of work eliminating many non-biblical Roman Catholic traditions and theologies from the faith. Today, Protestants believe in salvation by grace through faith and in the priesthood of all believers, rejecting the claim that the Pope is the vicar of Christ on the earth. Many evangelical Christians recognize that if something is primarily Catholic, it should be tested against the inspired Word of God to see if it's truly biblical. The Bible does not tell us to pray to saints or confess sins to a priest. Scripture does not teach transubstantiation. Furthermore, Scripture does not tell us that Mary, or Miriam, in the Hebrew world, the mother of our Lord Yeshua, is the mother of God, for our Creator has always been and ever will be. Many Protestants pride themselves on being sola scriptura, scripture only. However, it is an unfortunate reality that many Protestants today still adhere unknowingly to some non-biblical Catholic tradition. There are many practices and traditions among those who claim to serve the Messiah that cannot be found in the Scripture, but rather on customs established long since the death of the apostles and the early believers. All too often, it has been my unfortunate observation that many in the Messianic community strongly and vehemently criticize those in mainstream Christianity during the winter holidays. Statements along the lines of Christmas is a pagan holiday are all too commonplace, and it turns many away from hearing the truth about a holiday that cannot be found in Scripture, but is seemingly good. Many Christians believe that when you denounce Christmas, you are denouncing the biblical reality of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. Certainly, Luke chapter 2 is part of our Scriptures, and it does portray the miracle of the birth of Yeshua in a manger, which is a biblical thing, a stable, a sukkah. It's a biblical event. That does happen. In an effort to stress balance, grace, and understanding throughout the winter season among both Christians and believers, I'm going to offer all this to you. Why is it asserted among many Christians that if there are those who do not celebrate Christmas, then obviously such people cannot be true believers? Are we dangerous cultists who do not believe in the virgin birth of our Messiah? Obviously, Luke chapter 2, which fully details the miraculous birth of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Savior of the world, is something that none of us should ever deny or consider unimportant. It's very important. If Yeshua had not been born, if he had not grown up to become the perfect sacrifice for our sin, we would be unable to have his blood covering us and have no hope of forgiveness of our sins. Where would we be? But what of the holiday we now call Christmas? Where did it come from? If its celebration is not specified in the Bible, then how did we get it? Well, this is from a book. During the Roman Empire, people usually celebrated the birthdays of rulers and other outstanding people, though not necessarily on the exact date of their birth. The early Christians' desire to honor Christ's birth may come from the fact that they gave him the title and other honors that pagans gave to divine emperors. Those Christians lived in a culture where the birth of a ruler was a major celebration. I'll bet if you were king, you'd want to have a big party for your people would have to celebrate your birthday every year, wouldn't they? What could be more natural than celebrating the birth of a king of kings? Genesis 40, verse 20 says, "And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast." So Pharaoh had a feast on his birthday. How many of you go out to dinner on your birthday by your wife or your husband takes you out, or somebody takes you out, or somebody throws a big dinner for you? What's your favorite food to eat? Yeah, see, you have a feast on your birthday. You don't? Well, nobody takes you out because you need to, you know, work on that. tell your sister to take you out. Maria, where is she? She's not even here. Can't yell at her. She's working. What an excuse. Despite the logic of this, Christmas has been surrounded by controversy. In AD 245, how many of you were around then? Roger. Origen wrote that even to consider observing it was a sin. So Christmas was a sin in 245. Early Christians in Armenia and the Syrians accused Roman Christians of sun worship for celebrating Christmas on December 25th. Although the sun usually doesn't shine in Nebraska on December 25th. We would probably not fall into the same category as Origen, saying that commemorating the birth of the King of Kings is a sin, because if that were the case, we should probably strike Luke chapter 2 from our book. However, we can find serious problems celebrating it at a time that has been historically associated with the honoring of pagan deities. For pagan celebrations held on December 25th included Mesopotamian celebrations for Marduk, Greek ones for Zeus, and Roman Saturnalia in honor of Saturn. Saturn is not the car, I'm talking about the god. In the history of world Christian movement, it says prior to the year 300, there had been no consensus among the Christians concerning the date on which to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Nobody knew when to do it. Some argued for a spring date. Others suggested December 25th. The latter date was the day celebrated in honor of the invincible sun, S-U-N, who had grown on imperial flavor throughout the 3rd century. Through the course of the 4th century, most Christians came to accept December 25th as the celebration of the birth of Jesus, integrating elements of this sola monotheism with Christianity. This came as a result of generations of Christians long after the death of the apostles. Okay, this happened a long time later, as Christians of the 3rd and 4th century used ways to evangelize pagans. They went out and evangelized people all over the place. The original intent was to reinterpret the local religious holidays with biblical meanings, to try and get the people to relate to them in some way that they were familiar with, you know? Don't we often do that to people when we try to find a common ground to start talking to them? And that's what they were trying to do. They were probably sincere in what they were doing. as they wanted to adapt their faith to the pagans around them and to use biblical overtones of their holidays to spread the good news. I mean, what's wrong with that? However, such adaptations came at a time after the destruction of Jerusalem when anti-Semitism was at a serious high in the Roman Empire. And the believers in Yeshua were rejected from the synagogue. This was all going on at the same time. According, anything perceived as Jewish, anything that you did that was Jewish, namely the biblical appointments of Leviticus 23, the Mo'adim of God, the feasts, would be looked down upon and not observed. Substitute and replacement holidays had to be created. Had to be. And instead, and Christmas is a reality to this very day. How Christmas has been celebrated over the centuries has been determined in a variety of cultures and denominations. The name Christmas comes from Christ's Mass, or a service that is held in Roman Catholic churches. Many Protestants realize that many of the non-biblical elements of the Roman Catholic service certainly derive from paganism. No doubt about that. The foremost of which is transubstantiation. So the name Christmas has already, to an extent, been tainted before it even got off the ground, huh? What is perhaps most disturbing is that such masses exist on the Roman Catholic service calendar, such as Michael Mass, a service to the that's held for the Archangel Michael, which is kind of strange, isn't it? I don't even know what it's for, but, you know, it's kind of strange. For many Protestants throughout the centuries, Christmas was not like we consider it today. For those living in Great Britain and the colonial colonies of America, Christmas Day was a very serious occasion where family would attend church services, sing hymns about the birth of their Lord, and return home and sometimes exchange small gifts in remembrance of the three magi who gave gifts to Yeshua. There would have been no tree then. Up until the mid-19th century, Christmas trees were unheard of in Britain or even in the United States. The earliest recorded account of a Christmas tree is from 1605 in Germany, Strasbourg, Germany. By the 1700s, the custom was firmly embedded in Germany, and Christmas trees were mainly a German custom. When German settlers came to Pennsylvania, in the early 19th century, they brought the Christmas tree with them. It's probably kind of dry, wasn't it? They probably kept it in water. President Franklin Pierce set up the first Christmas tree inside the White House in 1856. By 1877, the custom was well established. In 1923, President and Mrs. Calvin Coolidge began the custom of lighting the national Christmas tree on the White House grounds. In England, Prince Albert, when he got out of his can, popularized the Christmas tree in the 1840s. The English people had heard of Christmas trees before then, but his decision to set up a tree for his family spread the custom. Okay. In the United States, what happened during the 1800s was kind of weird. During the 1820s, after a series of particularly raucous holiday seasons in New York City, my hometown, the city's elite began campaigning for a more restrained domestic Christmas. I mean, they were having riots in the streets. That was how they celebrated Christmas. We can't do that no more. Central to that campaign was the tradition of purchasing gifts. Christmas and America's consumer culture had fed off one another ever since. You know, by the time the Christmas shopping season is over, nowadays there's $150 billion spent, about an average of $500 per person. But they were rioting in New York in the 1800s. I mean, there was violence. They were singing songs, and they threatened violence if they weren't invited in for food and drink into houses. They would go, yeah, it's kind of like trick or treat, wasn't it? They knock on the door and they're singing, "The first Noel will destroy your house if you don't feed us and drink us." And that's what it was. It was a terrible time. That was the United States, wonderful country. The most common day association with Christmas is obviously the tree. Its usage for honoring the Lord, of course, is not detailed anywhere in the Bible. Rather, it was a tradition introduced from Germany into Britain to the United States and has become quite popular now all around the modern world. Unfortunately for those Christmas tree lovers, Holy Scripture prohibits us from introducing decorated trees into our home for adoration. All you have to do is read Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, where it says, "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak, they must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good." It's what Jeremiah has to say about it. Many Christians have astutely observed that these Bible verses speak of pagan idolatry. Now, are we accusing Christians today who truly know Yeshua as their Savior of participating in idol worship? No, I don't think we are. But let us also beware of what the Torah tells us in Deuteronomy 16:21. "You shall not plant for yourselves an Asherah pole or any kind of tree beside the altar of the Lord your God, which you shall make for yourself." Where is the altar of the Lord your God nowadays? Your temple is here. So right next to you, you should not plant an Asherah tree, an Asherah pole. Certainly we can't accuse believers of participating in idolatrous worship of trees. However, the Word of God clearly prohibits us from adorning trees in our homes. And those quotes from Jeremiah and Deuteronomy are the most explicit examples of the Christmas tree in Scripture. For even if believers who in ignorance have Christmas trees in their homes and do not worship them, even as Jews, we celebrated Christmas. When I was a child, my grandfather used to dress up in Santa Claus suit. It looked like Saint Nick from Germany. But we had a Christmas tree in our house. And I'm Jewish. And we did Hanukkah and Christmas. We had a mistletoe, I remember, because my aunt used to stand under it and wait for all these guys to show up. Yeah, she was a wild one, my aunt. And my grandfather would come in dressed as this old Saint Nick guy from Germany, you know, who looked like Santa Claus to us, and he'd bring me presents. You know, after getting 8 presents at Hanukkah, I'd get all these presents at Christmas under this tree. We'd had bulbs and lights and all that stuff. He didn't do it because it was religious. He did it because he lived in America, and he wanted to be American. And he thought that's what Americans did. And that's why we celebrated Christmas. To us, it was no birth of Jesus or anything. It was about secularization and materialism, like the guy in the joke, little boy who went to the Bahamas. Same truth. Using trees as part of religious celebrations goes back well beyond the first recorded Christmas tree. Egyptians decorated green date palms indoors for winter solstice rites. Romans hung trinkets on pine trees during the Feast of Saturnalia and used evergreens for Natilas Sol Invicti, whatever that means. In Britain, Druids placed candles, cakes, and gilded apples in tree branches as offerings. Some Christians, when confronted with the truth forbidding Christmas trees, have stated things along the lines of, "In many cultures, trees symbolize life," justifying their usage of something that has its roots in idolatry. In addition to just the Christmas tree, an evergreen is employed in various decorations throughout Christmas season. Unfortunately, this is not what the Holy Scripture says, Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Our eternal life is neither found nor represented in evergreen trees, but rather in the shed blood of our Messiah Yeshua, in which we have confidence to enter the holy place, as it says in Hebrews 10:19, and be forgiven from our sins. The argument that to the ancients evergreen trees symbolized life and thus we should have them in our homes is kind of weak. What did the ancients do when they celebrated? Well, the Romans held wild orgies, parties, where they took hallucinogenic drugs, LSD, things like that. They consumed vast amounts of alcohol and had illicit group get-togethers. Following in their patterns, should we do these things when we celebrate? God forbid. Scripture clearly tells us, do not get drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. Certainly we should rejoice in our Messiah Yeshua and remember him every day of the year, but we should not knowingly participate in things that are directly forbidden in Scripture and are connected with idolatry. We cannot judge the heart intent of those who have trees in their homes during the winter season, but Scripture forbids this practice. Christmas trees have nothing to do with the birth of our Messiah. Nothing. Rather, they are vain tradition that has been adapted by Christianity. Certainly, the many Christians who have Christmas trees do not worship them, but knowing their origin should hopefully be conviction enough to repent of this sin. If it is acceptable to have a tree in one's house, it is likely acceptable to have a statue of Buddha or some other pagan god, Elvis or somebody. I do not feel that we need to address Santa Claus, do we? No. And the 8 tiny little reindeer. Such things are as factual as the Tooth Fairy, although some of you may believe in that. And the Easter Bunny. These are child's myths and have no place among believers, even in seemingly biblical celebrations such as Christmas. The propagation of the existence of Santa Claus during Christmas time to young children and the revelation of him not being real later years has resulted in many people denying the truth of Yeshua, the Messiah. I mean, if you're going to tell me that Santa Claus isn't real, then Jesus must not be real either. I mean, why should I believe you on that and not believe you on the other? So I think they're doing their children a big disservice when they play these games with them. I remember when I found out it wasn't real. I said, well, who's my grandfather then? Then I found out he wasn't my grandfather. Amazing. Is there any specific reference? Yeah, he was my grandfather's brother. That's another story. Is there any specific reference to Christmas in Scripture? As I've already stated, there are many prophecies that speak of the virgin birth of our Messiah, and then the Scriptures that speak of the event itself, but this is not Christmas itself, per se. But is the holiday of Christmas even mentioned in Scripture at all? Some Christians would actually say yes. And if it is indeed Christmas, then it is a place we really don't want to go. We don't want to be involved in this because it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. I once heard that after the two witnesses of Revelation are killed, that the holiday of Christmas will occur. This is based on the assumption that since the world will make merry and send gifts to one another in the King James, that it must be at Christmas time. It could be referring to some other holiday. I don't know. In non-Christian countries, they give gifts at New Year's or other times. You get gifts on your birthday. I got you a gift on your birthday, didn't I? Good, I'm not in trouble then. If the only reference to Christmas in the Bible is that Christians can present us with is the passage that speaks about the murder of God's two witnesses, then we should most certainly reevaluate our participation in it. Already, many secular people are doing their best to eliminate Christ from Christmas. I heard just the other day, some churches don't even say Merry Christmas, it's forbidden. Most Christians would view that as a sign of apostasy. We think Christians are bad, they think the secular world is worse. But Christmas is not a biblical holiday. So technically it is not apostasy what they're doing. But this might be what is necessary to encourage believers to participate in the God-given festivals that are specified in Leviticus 23, God's Moedim. Those are not Jewish holidays. They are God's appointed feast days that all of us are to observe. Just because the Jews are the only ones that observe them today doesn't mean that they're Jewish holidays. They're not. Many Messianic believers who decide to give up the tree and the trappings of the holiday want to know what they should do. What do we do? A valid alternative is the celebration of Hanukkah. We've already done that. We got the t-shirts, right? Which often occurs in December. It was a few weeks ago. But unfortunately, as been the case for many, Hanukkah presents become substitutes for Christmas presents, and the birth of the Messiah is something that is really looked down upon again. It must be emphasized that Hanukkah, surprisingly to many Christians and to some Messianic believers, has not been mandated in Holy Scripture either. It's not in there. However, unlike Christmas, Hanukkah should be considered extra-biblical as opposed to non-biblical. You need to get these terms fixed in your mind. The events of which are detailed in books 1 through 4 of the Maccabees, which is in the Apocrypha, which is not in our Bible, but is in the Catholic Bible. The story of Hanukkah is quite moving, and it's very inspiring, as it speaks of the Maccabees' defeat of the Syrian Greeks and the rededication of the temple. To me, it's a 4th of July type celebration, not a Christmas kind of celebration. It is notable, though, that the events surrounding the story of Hanukkah took place long after the division of ancient Israel into northern and southern kingdoms and their respective exiles. I encourage you to celebrate Hanukkah, but emphasize that it is imperative to keep it in its proper perspective. We must not lift this celebration over the birth of our Messiah, Yeshua, who was conceived around the time of Hanukkah. He was conceived around Hanukkah, and therefore he was born at Sukkot. We know that. If you decide to celebrate this holiday with your family, do not forget who the light of the world is. And also remember that as the Lord is in the process of restoring all Israel, this should be a time that we all rededicate ourselves onto him and seek reconciliation with one another. The only reference to Hanukkah is in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. And the only Jew in the whole Bible celebrating Hanukkah is Jesus. He's the only Jew in the whole Bible that has a bar mitzvah. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know where they get all this stuff. They have to read Jesus to get it. At the time, it was the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was in the temple in the portico of Solomon. They don't really say that he's celebrating Hanukkah, it's just that he was there at that time. But that's the only reference to Hanukkah in the whole Bible. Hanukkah is a national commemoration to Israel, just like the 4th of July is to us. But it has strong religious overtones. We should have no problem rejoicing in the historical triumphs of our Jewish brethren. But likewise, we should not uplift them over the miraculous birth of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. It's an unfortunate predicament that many Messianics who do not celebrate Christmas mercilessly and vehemently criticize Christians who do. This, in the long run, will not work well for the Messianic movement and will turn many Christians off to the truths that God is restoring to his people. We shouldn't be telling them, oh, what you're doing is pagan, don't bother us, you know. Let me tell you about Yeshua. That won't work too well, will it? No. But what you're doing is pagan, but I want to talk to you about Jesus, the real Jesus, you know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, goodbye. Calling Christmas utterly pagan will seriously deter many serious believers to re-examine the holiday. Ooh, it's a pagan holiday. It may be true that it's not a biblical holiday, but calling it pagan will cause these people to interpret these statements as meaning that we reject the virgin birth of Messiah Yeshua. How many of you reject the virgin birth of Messiah Yeshua? Not a hand. It is more appropriate to call Christmas a non-biblical holiday. Non-biblical holiday, which is an accurate description that should not get as many people heated or turned off to the truth as the term pagan does. Your mother and father are pagans. Blah. Fortunately, we serve a creator who overlooks most of what we say. He's much bigger than we are. And he has a sense of humor that looks way beyond our shortcomings, thank God. You know, God is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. His chesed is everywhere. He forgives iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations, according to Numbers 14:18. The Lord will honor those who celebrate Christmas in ignorance, who do not realize its questionable connections. Guess what? Most of you did that for many years. I did it for many years. My grandfather taught me it was okay. And I taught my children it was okay. And I did that for many years until I became a believer. And that didn't happen until 1990, probably 95, before I accepted that Santa Claus wasn't coming anymore. Yeah. When that Corvette wasn't in the driveway, Dama. No, just kidding. No. During the Christmas season, many Christians will seek to please God, and he who is in control of all things will use nativity scenes, you know, those are biblical, and the proclamation of the birth of Messiah Yeshua, you know, he was born, that is biblical, to bring many to himself. During the Christmas season, the Lord will also no doubt look beyond the contentious attitudes of many messianic believers who unwarrantedly criticize Christians without love, grace, or mercy. Amen. How many of you celebrate your birthday on your American holiday, that it, on the American day that you were born? Like, you know, if you're, right. Some people... How many of you celebrate your art site for some of your lost ones on the American holiday or on the Jewish calendar holiday? What I'm saying is there's two different calendar days that you could celebrate. Your birthday, the death of your loved ones, the birth of someone. You know, I go every year. When do I light the art site candle for my dad? Do I do it on the day he died, or do I do it on the Jewish day or the American day? And I struggle with that. And then sometimes I miss the Jewish day because the calendar wavers back and forth. So who knows what day is what? I mean, what I'm trying to say is, so what? Jesus was born on Sukkot, October, okay? We know December 25th is not a good day for sheep to be out in the meadow going, baa, because there's snow in Jerusalem, right, Tamar? Yeah, there's snow out there. I saw you sneak in. Yeah. So what? What else are you going to do on a cold winter day, you know? Sukkot is, you know, well, I don't know. That's making excuses, isn't it? We need to be very tactful during this time of year. Tactful, T-A-C-T-F-U-L. We should not cruelly criticize those who celebrate Christmas lest they think we are denying the Messiah's birth. We must not only emphasize negative aspects of the holiday. Many Messianics who observed the biblical feast of Leviticus 23 have been found wanting all too often by excluding Messiah Yeshua's substance in them. We have to keep Yeshua in everything because they all teach about him. They all point to him. You can't leave him out of any of these feasts. At many Messianic Passovers, the Last Supper and sacrifice of Yeshua is barely spoken about. You know, when we seek to become Jewish in the way we upbring ourselves, we tend towards legalism and we tend to exclude Yeshua out. We're not going to exclude Yeshua out at this congregation. Not going to happen here. But we ever have to be ever mindful of our Messiah and keeping him in perspective on everything we do, okay? We have to embody him in all the things that we do. We have to open our hearts and our minds to him. And we have to be him. We have to live him in us and through us. He has to live in us and through us. And the only way we can do that is to keep talking about him when we observe these things. Yeshua was born in a manger in Luke chapter 2. Amen? And whether we choose to celebrate that day, we should celebrate that day every day. I mean, it's awesome. Doesn't matter what day we celebrate, it should be done every day. Yeshua is alive because he died and came back alive so that we could be free forever and ever. And that is the most awesome thing that we could ever know. And we should do that every day of our lives, not just December 25th or October 1st. Doesn't matter. Man, many Messianic Passovers. At Shavuot, it's all about the Torah and the Holy Spirit, and the latter is seldom talked about as many commemorations. At Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, the gathering of the saints, the return of Yeshua is going to happen. And the wrathful day of the Lord, those are not even emphasized sometimes. And we might just find it appropriate to emphasize his birth during Sukkot. Okay? What do you do during the winter holiday season is ultimately up to you, and that's between you and God. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or you don't do anything at all, I certainly cannot be the Holy Spirit for you, because God himself is the one who must judge the intentions of your heart. You're going to stand before him. You won't have your attorney present, and I won't be there. You'll be standing there just like I'll be standing there. And it'll be what's in my heart, what's in your heart, that God is going to look at. So the challenge for us is not going away anytime soon. We must endeavor to be two things, loving and grace-filled, as much as possible when showing Christians the problems with Christmas. You pagans, don't do that. We must not forget the words of our Messiah Yeshua, who said, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged." Okay? So what you give out, you're going to get back in return. That's what he's saying. I don't want to be that. And by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. So if you're a harsh criticizer of other people, guess what God's going to be to you? Man, that's Matthew 7:2. If we mercilessly attack people for celebrating Christmas, who in their midst are honoring the birth of the King of Kings, we will be mercilessly attacked by the same for honoring the Lord's appointed times. We will become part of the problem as opposed to part of the solution. And guess who'll win again? Hasatan, Satan. He will win. He will be the victor in all of that. And we don't want that to happen ever, do we? Amen. Because our allegiance is to Yeshua. Thank you.